Good morning and a very warm welcome to this service of worship coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this Trinity Sunday, the first Sunday after Pentecost. You will find the order of service on our website and you are invited to raise your voice in singing and responses in bold type. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister. Our readers this morning are Evie Simpkins and Michael Peterson. The prayers of intercession are led by Lynn Donald. You will hear the choir of St Andrew's and St George's West. And our vocal ensemble comprises Eleanor Cousins, Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton and Andrew Carville. Our pianist is Eleanor Cousins. This is Trinity Sunday in the season of Pentecost with the theme of creation. All three are woven together in our responsive call to worship. Called to be faithful stewards of creation, we come in worship to sing to the one who has created all that is good and beautiful and true, and who has shared everything with us. Called to be disciples of Christ, we come to learn, to follow the one who meets us in every moment of our lives, in every place we find ourselves. Called to proclaim the good news of Easter, we come to be taught by the Spirit who moves in and through us as we serve the world. And we worship God in the singing of hymn number 96, You are before me, God. You are behind. Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. God in community, holy and one, you are the eternal mystery that enables, enfolds, and enlivens all things. All our attempts to name you cannot encompass you. It is enough that you encompass us. We cannot fully plumb the depth of your relationship with us. It is enough that we are known and wanted and loved by one infinitely more loving than we can ever be. We thank you that you are not a distant God, but a God who has walked the journey with us from the beginnings of creation. We rejoice that you gave us the gift of being formed in your image. We recognize the responsibility that carries. How often we deface your image in thought, word, and deed. And through our silence, when others are dehumanized or diminished, we confess the many times that we have fallen short. Yet we are assured that you forgive all those who turn from sin in sorrow, and that you long to recreate and restore all of humanity. God of grace, continue to reshape us so that we better reflect the blessings you bestow through lives lived in service to others. It is with that desire that we pray the prayer that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is the first of the two creation stories found in the book of Genesis. The poetry and the pattern of the language speaks to God's creating a world of awe and wonder out of chaos. God, who is the God of new patterns and possibilities. Listen now for the word of God.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And it was so. God called the dome sky.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God saw that it was good.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created, and God saw that it was good.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation.
Gloria in excelsis Deo, 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 gloria in exc
How have you been sleeping? I know, yet another personal question on a Sunday morning. I ask because our sleep patterns can be as disrupted as our daytime routines. If you ever wake up around 3 a.m., and it always seems to be around 3 a.m., you're not the only one. We're all familiar with the practices to help get a good night's sleep, putting away our phones, avoiding caffeine. Did you know there's an insight from the creation story that can help inform our bedtime rituals? Did you catch the rhythm to our reading from Genesis? After each creative act, light, sky, seas, and more, God sees the goodness of what has been made in all its diversity, and the narrator pauses briefly to declare that a day has come and gone. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day, and so on. Here, day begins at dusk, not at dawn. So whatever time your day began, the hymn of creation tells us that in God's time, the new day began before we even went to bed. In the words of Eugene Peterson, the first part of the day passes in darkness, but not in inactivity. God is growing out the crops even before the farmer is up and knitting together the wound before the clinic opens. When the farmer and physician awake, they join in and mightily, but only because grace came first. Likewise, God has been working on and in them, body and mind, while they slept. Yesterday's bruises and slights have begun to heal. End quote. Think about it. Upon waking from a good night's sleep, issues that trouble us seem to have moved on from where we left them the night before. The invitation to rest, well, it's not really an invitation. It's a command to let go of what concerns us when the time comes for nightly rest, and so join in the restorative rhythm of creation. We get out of the way for a while so that God can work on us and in us and equip us for service. God goes ahead of us. The work of reconciling and restoring wholeness has already gathered momentum when we arise. It is evening. It is morning. It is time to join in and join together to play our part in God's recreation of the new day. The world into creation. One translation of the Hebrew word in Genesis is breath. God breathed the breath of life. Human breath and divine breath conspired. That is, they breathed together. Today we are so very aware of breath, conscious of what could be carried in the air that we breathe. Perspex protects us from harming each other as we go about our daily lives. We pray for those who struggle for breath. We pray for those who cannot breathe unaided. And in a world where so many are working to enable others to breathe, we lament those who have had their breath violently taken away. Breath is a theological issue. Last week we celebrated Pentecost, the season where we forefront the reality that spiritually speaking, none of us can breathe unaided. We are totally dependent on the life-giving breath of God. And that life-giving breath of God extends into all areas of life. Breath is medical. It is sociological. It is ethical. It is environmental. It's political. During our service on Pentecost Sunday, the systemic injustices exposed by COVID-19 brought to mind the saying that justice is love with its sleeves rolled up. Love without justice, well, it's not love. One day later, George Floyd's life was taken in Minneapolis at the hands of those entrusted with protecting life. The official response betrayed a callous and a casual disregard for the equality built into the fabric of God's creation, a response more concerned about property than people. A deep, long-running wound has been exposed again, resulting in an outpouring of pain and frustration again. The powerless seek to speak truth to power again. Christians were tear-gassed in Washington, D.C. as they stood outside their church in solidarity with peaceful protesters. In the words of their minister, the Reverend Ginny Gerbasi, they turned holy ground into a battleground. In the days between my recording this reflection and you listening to it, I don't know what form that battleground will take. What I do know is that the Bible can't legitimately be used as a weapon, or its words used to defend forced order, coercive control, or false peace. When God spoke order into chaos at creation, it was not an order born of domination. It was not an order born of brute force. It was an invitation to relationship. It was the start of a conversation. On Trinity Sunday, we celebrate that relationship, mutuality, and sharing are the deepest truth about God's very being. And we're called to face up to issues of systemic racism much closer to home. This past week, the report on the disproportionate effects of COVID-19 on Black, Asian, and minority ethnic people appears, according to those most directly affected, to have been a whitewash. This affects all of us. The reality is that our identity as children of God is corrupted when we disregard or dismiss the fears and concerns of people who do not look like us. God's image is defaced when we do not listen to the concerns of those whose reality is very different from ours. We are called to continue the conversation. So core is relationship to God's essence that when humanity failed to model relationships based on mutual love and self-giving, the Creator became the created to show us the way. Jesus came to show how the created could better reflect the Creator. God has already gone ahead of us, reconciling and restoring. Jesus shows us the face of God, an image which is reflected in the face of every human being we will ever encounter. Usually on Trinity Sunday, I preach a three-point sermon. The third point, well, that's where you come in. That's where you join in. Since lockdown began, we have concluded each of our online services with the blessing known as the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This blessing is a call to mirror God's love for all God's creation. As people made in the image of God, we stand in solidarity with the Trinity of love when we bless the face of God we see in others. When we are gracious, when we share peace. These are everyday acts of recreation that reflect the diversity of life found in that first garden. And through them we breathe the breath of life God intends for the entire world. Breathe it, sing it, speak it. And help create the glorious day when every single person can sing for themselves that they experience their life in the world as both a joy and a treasure.
Let us pray. Creative Spirit, we pray for our world, a world which longs for the breath of your renewal, where exploitation of the natural world and disregard for ecosystems and diversity of life destroy the mutual flourishing you intended. Renew creation by your Spirit of life. You are the God of community, the God of equal regard. You created all human beings in your image. We lament when compassion and justice is withheld, when people are disregarded or devalued because of race or gender or any other means. Strengthen your church to reflect your face in the world and to speak up for others who face oppression. Renew creation by your Spirit of love. As lockdown eases, we pray for those who are fearful of starting again, of going outside, of returning to school or college, those who do not want their loved ones put at more risk. In the noise of different opinions, give your guidance and peace. Renew creation by your spirit of wisdom. We pray for those whose spirit is drained by grief and loss, and those who comfort them. Give strength to those who are weary, through overwork or no work, through caring for others or prolonged isolation. We pray for those cut off from family, from neighbours, from you. Renew creation by your spirit of peace. We pray for those known to us who are in special need of our prayers at this time. We remember them now in the silence of our hearts. We give thanks for the renewal of creation we see in everyday acts of kindness and mutual respect, where people draw strength from one another, where compassion and justice are valued and gifts are shared. We give thanks for your never-ending work of restoration, your ongoing recreation of a new day. Renew creation by your spirit of hope. Use our gifts so that the Church reflects your likeness, a community of love, through Jesus Christ, at one with you, Creator and Sustaining Spirit. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, as this service of worship draws to a close, our service in the world continues. Hear these words of sending and blessing. We are the Church. We follow where the Spirit leads, daring to be risk takers as we go. We are filled with the breath of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of God, Creator and Giver of life, the Son, life of God incarnate, and the Holy Spirit, bearer and power of new life among all people, be with us now and forever. Amen.